Hi, folks, and welcome to the Empowering Dietitians podcast, where each week I explore a different topic to help you feel more confident and connected to your work as a dietitian. I'm your host, Jess Serdikoff-Ramola, a registered dietitian, dietitian supervisor, and owner of Empowering Dietitians, where I help burnt out and unhappy dietitians opt out of hustle culture and reclaim their passion and purpose as a human first and dietitian second. After all, we are all more than a dietitian. Welcome to another episode of Empowering Dietitians Shorts, my less than 10-minute episodes that focus on reflection questions and affirmations for you to sit with throughout the week. To be honest, I don't actually know if this is going to qualify for an official short episode. The script is longer than my usual shorts, and it takes on a slightly different perspective, but either way, it's an episode about job searches, insights that I've gained this past year from applying to and interviewing for many jobs, from full-time to per diem, remote to in-person, ones I was highly qualified for, and ones that were total shots in the dark. Listen in to find out what I learned from the experience. Over the summer, I applied to a lot of jobs. At the start of the year, Justin and I sat down and had a long conversation about empowering dietitians. To be more accurate, we had many conversations about empowering dietitians. I do want to talk more candidly about the state of my business and what prompted these conversations. I want to be transparent about the ways that financial instability can catapult us into fix-it mode, and how my job search earlier this year largely happened because I realized I needed a more stable foundation if I had any hope of continuing on with empowering dietitians at all. But that's going to have to be an episode for another day. Suffice it to say, Justin and I sat down and talked about my business, and as adamant as he was that I not give up, we both decided that if business didn't pick up by June of this year, I would look for part-time or per diem work to supplement what the business was bringing in. So today, I want to talk about the job search itself, the insights that I gained that may help you if you also find yourself applying and interviewing or even considering it. This is a slightly different, shorter episode. I usually try to limit my own opinions or how much I tell you about what I think or what my experience has been. Instead, I offer questions that you can ask yourself to help you find a path that works for you, regardless of what decisions I might make in a similar situation or how I feel about an issue. But today, I'm going to offer you little nuggets, I hope. Again, tidbits rather than questions that I learned about myself and the reality of job hunting in 2023 that may help you as well. So here you go. 10 things that I either learned, noticed, or was reminded of through my recent job search. Number one, there is a lot of rejection in job searching. No surprise there, right? You'll get ghosted a lot and you won't hear back from the majority of places that you apply at all. This largely isn't personal, though it may feel like it is in the moment. Number two, I applied for some positions that I was stoked about, and some that I was literally applying just because they were available and I was looking for a steady paycheck. My energy and confidence in interviews between those two categories of jobs, totally different. I nailed the interviews for positions that felt super aligned. I felt much less self-assured in the others. Now, that's not a judgment on what jobs you should or shouldn't apply for. It's not even a commentary on what jobs you will or will not wind up getting an offer for. Again, sometimes a steady paycheck outweighs your need to feel excited about an opportunity because of the reality of the world that we live in. But do pay attention to your energy, the vibes, and why you're applying for a job. And maybe adjust how you prep or go into an interview based on that information. I had to constantly, this is number three, I should say that, number three, I had to constantly remind myself that the interview is just as much about me interviewing and gauging them as employers as it is about them interviewing me. it feels like they hold the power because they have the job offer that you want. But also, you have the labor that they need, or the expertise, or the skills, or however you want to word it. You're not as powerless as they might want you to feel. Number four, take detailed notes throughout the application process. Keep a spreadsheet. I did get a little lax in filling it out, and I definitely got callbacks where I would go into a panic because I couldn't remember what job they were even asking me to interview for. It was bad. I mean, it worked out, but it definitely didn't feel good when I was getting those calls. Number five, get clear on what you want out of a job. What's most important to you? Is it the bottom line, the take-home pay? Is it health insurance? Is it flexibility? And if you go through the process of applying and interviewing and realize that something is more or less important to you than you initially thought, it's okay to pivot. I was interviewing while pregnant, and while I interviewed for a bunch of in-person gigs, I actually turned down an in-person offer because getting the offer made me realize how hard that was going to be at this stage of my life. Number six, tailor your resume to the job, including the job description and company values. Highlight specific aspects of past jobs based on the position that you're applying for. I have several versions of my resume, not one generic one. I mean, I do have one generic one that I use as a base, but the ones that I'm actually submitting to a proposal or to an application are going to be tailored to that position. Number seven, practice. Practice the simple questions, which are sometimes the ones we overlook because we're like, oh, I can tell you about myself. Easy peasy. I don't even have to think about that. And then we try and we wind up rambling. I'm great at speaking off the cuff, and I can tell you that my first interview, I did not really prepare at all. Maybe I had a little bit too much hubris. I was like, it's fine. I'm comfortable with this. I know what I'm going to talk about. I'm comfortable speaking off the cuff. I'm going to be great. And then some of the most basic questions tripped me up. Spoiler alert on that one. I did not get that job. Number eight, ground yourself. Do what you need to do to take care of yourself before and afterwards. I think sometimes we forget about the afterwards part. Like, we might do some things that calm us down beforehand, but what about the after? You may need to shake off adrenaline, nerves, excitement, disappointment, any number of things that can come up. And you want to give yourself time for that. Number nine, be patient. A lot of job stuff happens quickly, but not always. I went from feeling totally unemployable, like I was wasting my time sending my resume and applications out into some void that I would never, ever hear back from, to within a week having, not a week of starting this process, I should clarify, a week of like everything changed. So it was several weeks of just nothing, feeling completely discouraged, to all of a sudden within a week, I had a handful of job offers at my feet. Now, both experiences can be overwhelming, both the slow wait and the pressure to make decisions quickly, especially if there's some whiplash between the two, right? Of you're waiting, nothing, and then all of a sudden everything happens. Another thing here is to be prepared to have a slightly longer process if you're either very adamant about remote work or work from home opportunities, or if you live in a more remote area. Both are issues of higher demand and lower supply. And lastly, this one can be tough, but use your connections however and whenever you can. My top job, the offer that I eventually took, the one that I really wanted, I didn't hear back from for over a month after applying. Nothing was moving the needle until a colleague that I know who happens to work for the company stepped in and referred me. And then all of a sudden I heard back and started the interview process. That's a privilege for sure. Is it fair that a lot of times the job market works this way? No, it's absolutely not. And trust me, I did not have connections for most of the places that I applied. Yet, unfortunately, it is often a more effective way to apply and interview than submitting a faceless resume to LinkedIn or Indeed, if you have that option. And my one final word, a bonus tip or insight, if you will, let your job search be your own. I hope that these insights that I shared help. Maybe they clarify some things or assure you that you're not alone, that this is tough, that this can be a stressful experience, and at the same time, your experience is still your own. Maybe some of what I experienced is not what you've experienced. Both experiences are valid. Your needs, what you're looking for, the geographic region where you live or want to work, your background, luck. There are so many factors that impact our job search experience. No one is better than anyone else if they find a job faster or for getting a job that someone else gets passed over for. And multiple job offers may feel like something to brag about, but aside from maybe giving you some negotiating leverage, who cares if you have 50,000 offers if you're only taking one? So find your support people. You're not alone. This process is always challenging, and lately it seems it's extra tough. But you've got this. You really do. Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, there are two things you can do that dramatically help to support the show. First, leave a quick rating and/or review on your podcast listening app of choice. This helps new listeners find the show. Second, sharing this episode with a dietitian friend can also go a long way in spreading the anti-hustle message to dietitians far and wide. And speaking of supporting one another, please don't be a stranger if you find yourself in need of that supportive space yourself. There are a number of ways to work with me, from one-on-one supervision packages to my course, Abundance, and periodic live classes and workshops. The best way to stay up to date on which of these services and offerings are available at any given time? Grab my free dietitian journal to sign yourself up for my email list at www.empoweringdietitians.com/resources. That's www.empoweringdietitians.com/resources.